Hey, Swifties! Welcome to a brand new episode of Swiftie School, where together we walk Clownelia Street covering the latest news and Easter eggs from our fearless leader, Taylor Swift. I'm your host, Reagan Bailey, and it is enchanting to have you here. Now that we're out of the woods, let's get into today's episode.
It's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. Wow, wow, wow. How the heck are we? Welcome to episode 29. I am so glad that you guys are here. And more importantly, I am so glad that you guys absolutely loved episode 28 with my friend K-Tone. So glad that you guys love having him on the episode. Now, I will absolutely be having him back, but we have so much to get into today because we are chatting all about track fives. Now, I have been wanting to do this for so long, probably since I started the podcast, honestly, but I feel like I needed to really go through and sit down and hone in on like my actual thoughts on every single track five song, dive deep into them. So that is what today's episode is all about. But before we do that, I want to get into just sort of some personal updates and some Swiftie updates, and then we are going knee deep into track fives. And I'll explain what track fives are if you're new to the podcast, whatever it is. But if you are new, this is a great segue because I want to give you some personal updates. If you are watching the video, which so many of you guys watch on Spotify, to give you a little back-end insight, I switched my podcast hosting platform to Spotify itself, which opened me up to some new features, which includes being able to actually upload the video onto Spotify itself, which is really fun and exciting. So hopefully if you're not driving, maybe you listen to this while you're studying or working or whatever, you can now actually watch this video of me. Hi, it's me. Hi, I'm the podcaster. It's me. Doesn't really roll off the tongue like I thought it would. But anyways, you can now watch this on your phone or your iPad or your computer or wherever it is. And if you don't feel like doing that or you don't have Spotify, you can always watch it on YouTube and don't forget to subscribe there. I always feel like a little advertisement when I give you guys my little updates. Now, anyways, if you are watching, obviously my face has dots on it. Why does it have dots, you ask? Great question. Now, I had birthmark surgery. I talk about this a lot on my personal page. And if you just found me and you're like, what's going on? What's your personal page? I am a social media content creator, if you will. And I talk all about girlhood, being unapologetically yourself, fashion, beauty, Taylor Swift, press on nails, hair tutorials, skincare, makeup, you name it, all the girly things. If you can't tell by the space behind me, I love the color pink. I love things feminine. I love community. I love uplifting other people, positivity, happiness. It's all my fun favorite things. Now, that's my social media pages. And on there, I had recently posted, which this is a good like Swiftie social media segue, that I am doing a meetup in the month of March. And I am so very jazzed and excited. I feel like it's coming up very quickly. It is on Saturday, March 9th. And I will be in my hometown of Orlando, Florida. If you guys are familiar with Winter Park, it's a city kind of like, I don't know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, I don't know, outside of the Disney theme parks. And there's a store there specifically called Gasp, G-A-S-P, as in like Gasp. It's called Gasp Happy Store. And it truly is the definition of my happy place. She has Swiftie like inspired merch items there. She's got all sorts of just like feminine fun, basically anything that's my vibe. If you know me or have been around for a while, she has it. And it's a really cute boutique, to put it simply. And I'm doing a meetup from 12 to 3 o'clock Florida time. And it's going to be so much fun. We can take photos, we can clown, we can chat, we can shop, we can do all the things. And I would love to see as many of you there as possible. Some other life updates. I've just been feeling like really good. I feel like I've seen so many people on the internet talk about your like cycle as a woman and all the different phases that we go through, like luteal cycle. That's the only one I can remember. But I feel like I've been starting to be more in tune to that. I don't know how much I believe in it, but obviously we do have these cycles. I just don't know how much I actually subscribe to like my body actually following them. But on that topic, I feel like I have been in a really good place like the past couple of days. I'm like, okay, my mood is on the up and up. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling creative. And that being said, I think I want to do a 5K step challenge in March where, if you're interested, head over to my personal socials. We could do a step challenge where basically every day in the month of March, I'm going to try to get 5,000 steps. I feel like 5,000 is a lot more approachable than 10,000 because I don't know about you, but I don't have like an hour and a half a day to take a walk or to get my steps in. So if you're interested in that, make sure you head to my social media at Reagan Bailey. Also head to my social media at Reagan Bailey if you're interested in working for me. I will be posting about that very soon. And I have a position where I've kind of rethought the next person I want to bring onto my team. And we've kind of honed that in a little bit further and deeper, and the position is a little bit more expanded than I had previously anticipated. So anyways, look out for that. And if you hadn't seen it, Swifty segue here. If you haven't seen it, I was on Access Hollywood and we talked all about Tortured Poets Department. And I'm so very lucky that they are open to having me back, and I am pitching some new ideas to them. And I absolutely cannot wait to hopefully be a regular on Access Hollywood, or do it more regularly, if you will. So that is that. That is the personal updates. Now, switching gears into T-Swizz herself, T-Swizz being our Lord and Savior Taylor Swift. That's possibly a bit dramatic, but for the sake of this podcast, I know you guys will agree with me. I have been having so much fun with the Patreon members. If you're like, what's Patreon? What's happening? I talked about this on the last episode, second to last episode as well. I recently launched my Patreon, and the reason I'm bringing this up today is because March is right around the corner, and happening on the first of every month, so March 1st, I drop all of the free downloads for the month, and I've been working on the ones for this upcoming March, and I'm so excited because they're so cute. And I'm also about to announce the date for our next clown call, which we had our first one a couple weeks ago, and oh my gosh, I had an absolute blast on the clown call. It's essentially for anybody who subscribes to the senior tier of my Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/swiftyschool. And there was about 20 of us from like all around the United States, a couple international girlies as well. And I should clarify, it doesn't have to be just females. Anybody can join. We love Swifties of all walks of life. And we had our Swiftie sips and we played trivia. We played icebreakers. It was so much fun and I had the absolute best time. So if you're interested and you're around towards the end of March, I will be announcing that date soon and you're absolutely welcome to join. We do it over Google Meet and I would love to have you. Now we need to talk about the Eras Tour, because I feel like we are really just moving and grooving through the rest of the shows that Taylor has going on. Obviously now Tokyo and Australia are in the books. Holy guacamole. I can't even believe the smashing success that was the Australia shows. Not that I had any doubts, but I don't think that we were fully prepared for the absolute insanity that was the surprise songs in Australia. And I feel like I could do a whole episode on that itself. But someone did like a graphic breakdown of how many surprise songs in total, like included in all of the different mashups that Australia got. And it was something like 25 songs in like one weekend. Absolutely crazy, pure madness. But next up, we have Singapore, which Singapore will be really cool because we have six shows happening over the span of March 2nd to March 9th, which I feel like Taylor is really on like her final sprint before she takes a break. If you call April a break, because we have Tortured Poets Department happening. Hello. Oh my gosh. I can't even believe like we have six more Eras Tour shows until Tortured Poets. Like, whoa, where has the time gone? But anyways, April will be her quote unquote break from the Eras Tour, transition into TS11, which I cannot even. I have so much in store for you guys. And again, different episode. And then after April, we have a couple weeks. And then May 9th, we've got the return of France. So that is what you have to look forward to. So much happening. Hopefully wherever you live, warmer weather, spring is coming. I cannot wait. Summer is in the air. If you're a summer girl like me, birthday is June 21st. I live, laugh, love. Spring, summer vibes. I was actually born on the first day of summer, longest day of the year. Shout out if anybody has the same birthday as me. But let's do a full little pivot here and talk about track fives. Track fives for me are really fun. I love that Taylor gave us this insight early on in her career that track fives are essentially her most vulnerable song on the album. And I feel like you get whiplash when you go through the 11 songs or 10 songs that we know of for Taylor's track fives, because they really all tell a different story and really have totally different tonality. Is that the right word? Like, they really describe her emotions and feelings and where she was during that point in time when the album was released, which I love that about them. But this is going to be not really a brutally honest review of them all. Perhaps it will. Like, it's just basically my thoughts. We're going to go through each one, break down the standout lyrics, my initial reactions to them. Obviously, I've listened to all of them a million and one times, but I figured I'll just get out of the way reviewing them for you so you have them fresh and top of mind, especially if you have not revisited some of these in a while. So here we go. Rapid fire. All 11 of Taylor's track five songs. Cold as You, White Horse, Dear John, All Too Well, All You Had to Do Was Stay, Delicate, The Archer, My Tears Ricochet, Tolerate It, You're On Your Own Kid, and So Long, London. Now, before we go specifically in order from earliest track five to most current track five, I figured I would just give you my personal top five ranking. I'm going to be so 100% honest with you. I put down my top like three or four, And then I was kind of stuck. So I was like, all right, let me just give you my top five, because I feel like the rest for me become a little jumbled in terms of how I would rank them. And you'll hear my thoughts and reasoning for that later on. Number one, I had to go with All Too Well. I have to go with All Too Well because for me, how I rank these and what I'm going to talk about if further in the episode is, does the song spark emotion for me? And if so, what is that emotion that it is bringing out of me? And for me, All Too Well, I have never listened to a song in my life that not only makes it feel like I am living that song in that moment, but it really does give me such release. And it doesn't matter if I'm like sobbing and going through the worst day of my life or having an excellent day and just want to feel something. That song translates both of those emotions, which is incredibly hard to do. And that is why for me, track five, All Too Well, hands down, 10-minute version specifically, is the king of all kings when it comes to songs. Number two, I really struggled because you guys know I love Folklore and I love Midnights. I also love Lover, but Archer is definitely not top five ranking for me when it comes to track fives. So we've got All Too Well. Number two is My Tears Ricochet. I think a lot of you guys can understand why. Number three would be You're On Your Own, Kid. Number four, Dear John. And number five, Tolerate It. Those are my rankings, but let's pivot and just start at the beginning. We're going back to 2006. We're going back to debut. We are talking about Cold As You. For me, if I'm being completely honest with you guys, this song to me feels monotone. And I don't want to say that. I say that in the best way possible. I feel like Taylor was so young in this song that she really developed her storytelling later on. Obviously, every artist gets better as their career goes on. But I wrote down it reminds me of the Hannah Montana movie for some reason. Like, I have that nostalgia associated with it. But it's fair to say, I feel like she was so young that it doesn't slap as hard as it should. And I feel like at the age I am now, like, it just doesn't resonate as much. But the standout lyric for Cold As You to me, and I'm going to be honest with you, this is 100% the song I have listened to the least out of all of these track fives. The standout lyric is, ain't no use defending words that you will never say. And now that I'm sitting here thinking it through, I've never been anywhere cold as you. I think I forgot what you're supposed to call it. If anybody's an English teacher out there, definitely drop a note and let me know. Where she does that thing where she says, like, I've never been anywhere cold as you. I've never been anywhere cold, but then she describes it as a person where she kind of like flips the meaning of things. I really think Taylor has mastered that. And clearly she was mastering that in 2006 when she was like 17 years old. So I like how she did that with that specific lyric. But I don't know. I'm curious to know your guys' thoughts. Like, do you feel like Cold As You is severely underrated, or do you agree with me? Are you aligned in that this song, I don't know, it just doesn't do much for me emotionally. And I feel like track five, since they're supposed to be so vulnerable, are supposed to evoke emotion, but maybe it's different for everybody. Now, talking about Fearless, we have White Horse. I feel like now when I hear the song White Horse, I cannot think of it without thinking of Sabrina Carpenter because of how she did that like YouTube video of her singing White Horse, and now she's played it on tour with Taylor, which is absolutely crazy, and flowers to her for that. This song, I think of it and I think of like the feeling of being let down and really beating yourself up for being in a relationship and like falling and falling hard and wearing rose-colored glasses while doing so. Because as so many of us know, if you've experienced heartbreak or been in love and like you know in your heart of hearts it's probably not going to work out, but you're fighting so hard for it and like everybody around you can see it. People are like, this is not the right fit. You know, you need to let it go. That's what this song for me kind of like resonates with emotionally. I really love the Taylor's version of White Horse as well. And I know a lot of people are like so attached to the original versions of some of those like more emotional Taylor songs. But for me, I really think she did a great job on the Taylor's version for White Horse. And I really love the strong guitar in the background of White Horse. Like I mentioned, the storytelling is strong for this one. Again, it does feel a little bit slow for me, and I compare it to Dear John in the sense of Dear John is slow, but the storytelling and the picture it paints is stronger, and so I don't mind that it's slow. But for me, White Horse, I wrote it feels a little slow because I just feel like it does. Sue me. In terms of lyrics, though, what stands out for me is, and there you are on your knees, begging for forgiveness, begging for me, just like I always wanted, but I'm so sorry. I'm not your princess. This isn't a fairy tale. I feel like that's the moment where she finally decides she's done and she's walking away and she's accepted that this isn't her fairy tale, even though she wanted it so bad. And it's kind of that moment where I'm sure I've definitely experienced this, where it's like you've been fighting for someone, you've been fighting, they've been pushing back. It almost becomes a game at that point. And then the second you're done, they don't want to play the game anymore and they're ready to, and they come crawling back. That's how I envision this song. But I love how, like, when you talk about your interpretations of Taylor's song specifically, like, everybody has a different idea of it or a different picture in their head. I would feel like that song's pretty, like, straightforward lyrically. But again, if you have different feelings or strong feelings about any of these songs and how you interpret it, I would love to hear from you. Let's talk about Dear John, because for me, this is where I feel like we really start to see the pivot in Taylor's lyricism and storytelling, but also a clear departure from, like, Cold as You and White Horse. Dear John feels so mature to me when looking at those other two, and obviously where Taylor is at in her life at the point of Dear John. I said it feels similar to White Horse, but, like, the big sister of it that's, like, lived a little bit more life, been hurt a little harder. I really love the guitar again in this song, but there's just more passion. Anytime I hear more passion, if you're chronically online like me, I hear of that TikTok audio that's like, passion, passion, more energy, more energy. So anyways, that's how I imagined Dear John happening in my head. I personally love, I also, this song makes me laugh, and I think you guys are gonna come for me for this. I personally love John Mayer. Is that allowed? Am I allowed to be a Swiftie and like John Mayer? I think it is. I think Taylor would celebrate the fact that I enjoy music, and I really enjoy his music. I don't enjoy him as a human, but I enjoy his music and his ability to absolutely slay the guitar. I feel like it kind of makes me giggle listening to this song, and maybe that's why I like it, but overall, the lyrics just pack such a punch. And I feel like what Dear John does is it paints this picture of how you can really love someone, but then they end up being totally different than the version of them that you fell in love with. And I feel like when I listen to the lyrics of this song, it kind of taps into, like, how you're in the midst of going through something so emotional, but you're also learning how to tackle these, like, super overwhelming emotions and, like, process them simultaneously. It's like that really weird dichotomy of, like, going through something traumatic, having new emotions, processing them, but then also having the realization that, like, you're dealing with someone who's, like, a manipulator. And the reason I say manipulator and throw around such, like, a big word, obviously this is speculation and we never know what Taylor's true, like, meanings of her lyrics are. But for me, when she says the part about, like, the chess game, but you change the rules every day, or wondering which version of you is on the phone tonight. I feel like when you're dealing with someone who is a really good manipulator, that is such an incredible way to say it with so few words. Some of the other standout lyrics from Dear John that I wrote down was, "Don't you think I was too young to be messed with? The girl in the dress cried all the way home." I think just calling out that she was so young and impressionable and vulnerable at the time really hits hard, because so many of us, like, hindsight's 20/20, right? Like, you experience something, you look back and then you're like, ugh, what was I thinking? Like, who was I? Why did I let that happen to myself? And you have to give yourself grace because you know that you were just younger and you were naive and it was what it was. The second one that I wrote down is a little lengthier, but I said, "You are an expert at sorry and keeping lines blurry." That alone, like, dagger to the heart. Because again, like, so many of us, especially women, like, we're so quick to really give people the benefit of the doubt and allow things to go beyond what an apology really should be. Like, an apology sometimes should be an ending. And I think, especially in relationships that we really want to work, we just graze over it and move on and try to pretend like someone can be better when they probably have already shown you who they are. And I always think about that. Something someone told me when I was younger was that, like, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. And for me, this song, that is, like, the perfect quote to summarize this song. The last line that I feel like really packs a punch in terms of, like, painting an image in my head is, "I'm shining like fireworks over your sad, empty town." And I think that's really interesting because fireworks can be a big, like, annoyance to people, but they're undeniably beautiful and undeniably something that, like, inherently as humans, we love, like, big, shiny, interesting things, especially in this, like, great big space that is the sky and, like, unexplored territory. So I feel like the fact that she's drawing the parallel of, like, shrinking him down to this tiny little town when she's just on to bigger, greater, better things and shining and sparkling, which we see her reference, like, bejeweled and sparkling and shining in so many different lyrics. I really like how she paints that picture with that specific firework lyric. I cannot say firework without baby or firework. Anywho, transitioning to dun 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 dun, All Too Well. Does this really need an explanation? Like, do we really need to do an explanation of All Too Well? Probably not. But also, it begs the question. Maybe I'll make this the question on Spotify for anybody who participates in the little Q&As that I put at the end of the episode. Is there anyone out there that doesn't like All Too Well? And if so, we need to meet. we need to have a town hall meeting. If you don't like it, I would love to know why. Like, is it that you just can't relate to it? I don't know. I can't imagine a world where All Too Well doesn't hit. In all 10 minutes of it, there's not something in there for everybody. But again, I'm biased. 10-minute version. When this came out, it was a spiritual experience for me. I remember exactly where I was. Me and Matt were cat sitting for our friend. I was sitting on the couch sweating. I was crying, I think, before it even came on because I knew my life was about to change. This was when the Sadie Sink, the All Too Well short film came out. And I just remember that part. I'm going to be completely honest. Well, I lied. This isn't when it first came out. Obviously, the album came out first. And then did it come out at the same time? I can't remember now. Anyways, I remember watching the short film. And I feel like the short film really put it together for me. When I listened to the song at first, I was like, do I like this? Like, did she ruin All Too Well? But then the more I listened to it, I've never been the same. To put the least, I feel like I mentioned in the beginning, this song has saved me in so many moments. And I feel like anytime I don't know where the root of like my emotional feelings are coming from, I can put on this song and feel something, which I don't know if there's many things in this world I could say do that. I put on this song when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I feel empty, like, ooh, that's dark. But I don't know, like I put it on when I was on a hike yesterday. Anytime I have 10 minutes till something, I put the song on. This song serves as a timer. It serves as an emotional crutch. It's really a one-stop shop, folks. I feel like All Too Well, we need like a little commercial for it. Anywho, depressing thing that I wrote down is it makes me feel things I don't know how to feel otherwise. Whoa, lot to unpack there. Anyways, this storytelling is so beyond vivid in this song. I feel like someone personally stole my red scarf and I'm mad about it. That's what I have to say about All Too Well. Anywho, I basically could put the whole copy and paste of the lyrics here as the standout parts, but I feel like one part that really sticks out to me that just like really is as if Bob Ross is standing on my brain cells and painting the picture quite literally on my skull is you used to be a little kid with glasses in a twin size bed and your mother is telling stories about you on the T-ball team. You told me about your past thinking your future was me. Whoa. In three lines, she took me from being 5 years old, playing sports with my friends, being innocent, feeling the warmth of your mother and a mother's love, and then dreaming about your future and having so much hopefulness. And then she tore that all down with saying, told me about your past, thinking your future was me. Knowing what we know because of the song, we know the future was not her. So yikes, yikes.com from that lyric. The other two I wrote down was, you call me up again just to break me like a promise. I feel like that's exactly what she did when I had mentioned, was it White Horse? Or no, it was Cold as You, where she kind of takes one thing, like you call me up again, but then she breaks me like a promise. Whoa, like she broke me, but it was like a promise. So she kind of flipped it there. So casually cruel. Just the two words casually cruel for me is lyrically genius in the name of being honest. That sentence should go in a museum of some sort because I don't even know how this comes out of her brain. And I would love to know, like, was she like sitting on the toilet and came up with that? Like, where do these things come from? Because I don't think that eloquently in my brain, but props to her because wow. And then the last part that I just had to put was till we were dead and gone and buried. So we've died. We're dead. You check the pulse. And not only do they come back to life, they come back swearing. So essentially, that's like a metaphor for coming back with a vengeance. It's the same after 3 months in the grave. A moment of silence. Mic drop for that absolute perfection of lyricism. I think we need to, let's roll it back. Till we were dead and gone and buried, check the pulse and come back swearing. It's the same. Darn, they haven't changed. After 3 months in the grave. Hello? Hello? Why are we not talking about this more? That is where I will leave you with All Too Well. Now, get ready to jerk your wheel if you're in the car or get absolute whiplash. Because for me, controversial. Maybe not. Maybe you guys agree. 1989, All You Had to Do Was Stay. Ma'am, how do we go from All Too Well to All You Had to Do Was Stay? I can't. Absolutely not. This is my number 11. I haven't even heard So Long London, but I'm putting this at number 11. To me, this is not a track 5 whatsoever. It feels so unserious to me. And I know there's no rules when it comes to track fives, but it's catchy. I'll give it that. I like the song. I like this song. I just don't think it's track five. And maybe that's because I feel like even though track fives don't have rules, maybe to me, track fives shouldn't be pop. Is that wrong? Am I wrong in saying that? I wrote down, imagine this song on piano and how excellent it would be. It's an excellent song. I obviously love Taylor with all of my heart, but this song to me, it just doesn't do it. It doesn't do it. Standout lyric is, let me remind you, this is what you wanted. You ended it. You were all I wanted, but not like this. Not like this. I like it. I like that lyric. I think it's good. I think execution-wise, it doesn't feel track five. If you guys think that's illegal of me to say, come for me. Prove me wrong. Tell me I am wrong. Also Whiplash, but kind of a natural progression from the pop smash hit that was All You Had to Do Was Stay, is Delicate. Now, Delicate to me is one of Taylor's best music videos of all time. Does it evoke the same feelings for me as the other track fives? Absolutely not. Do I feel like head bopping to a track five should be illegal? Yes. This song doesn't make me feel sad. It makes me feel like it's more of an internal monologue of like me questioning, am I going nuts or does this guy like me? That's kind of how I would summarize Delicate. And I put the lyrics that stand out as, sometimes I wonder when you are asleep, are you ever dreaming of me? That's like a very normal feeling to have when you are realizing that you're falling in love with someone or you have feelings for them or you have a crush, whatever it is. And then sometimes when I look into your eyes, I pretend you're mine all the damn time. For me, I feel like this song is like very hopeful. I guess the word I'll go for is like hopeless romantic is how it sounds. Like it's new. It's a new feeling. You're realizing you have this crush. You like them. You're starting to romanticize what life would be like with them or what dating them would be like. And that's where I'll leave it. I would say this is probably right down there with All You Had to Do Was Stay, because again, it just feels illegal to head bop to a track five. Now, real strong pivot again, we've got The Archer. To me, the Eras Tour has made me like this song more. And I feel like this song, we have so much to unpack. I feel like what I just continually kept revisiting with The Archer was the amount of self-doubt that this song exudes by saying like, who could ever leave me? But who could stay? Like the thing that we do in our heads of like building ourselves up, but also tearing ourselves down. And it's like one step forward, three steps back, I feel like is like mental health wise what this song does for me when I listen to it. I would absolutely love to see a music video for The Archer. I feel like it would slap so hard. I think what I'm most curious about when it comes to The Archer is how she views it in her head. Like how would she display The Archer? Because it's interesting. Like she has this inner monologue throughout the song and then she goes back and forth, but then it ends abruptly with like combat. I'm ready for combat. Like it feels like she went back and forth. She was feeling self-doubt. She wasn't sure. And then she just decides, you know what? I'm in. Let's go. I'm fighting combat. I'm here. So for me, there's a few things that stand out. I feel like she does a couple of cool things with lyrics here in terms of painting that picture, because cruelty wins in the movies. So like cruelty wins on TV, on screen, in fake reality, kind of is what she's saying. But then she's got 100 thrown out speeches I almost said to you. Like she's had a million things that she's wanted to say. She didn't have the confidence to do it. She didn't, you know, strap on the boots. She wasn't ready to, you know, fight. But now once the song ends, she's got it off her chest. She's ready to go. She's locked and loaded. I also put down, I wake in the night. I pace like a ghost. The room is on fire, invisible smoke. Whoa. To me, the room is on fire, invisible smoke. I think I've never really dug deep enough into those lyrics of The Archer. I feel like lyrically, if I was going purely off of lyrics and not sound, The Archer would be right up there with like My Tears Ricochet and Tolerate It and You're On Your Own, Kid. But sound-wise is why I rank The Archer lower. I think this is 100% deserving of a track five. And I would argue that many of you probably have The Archer as one of your top three, if not top one or two track fives. I just feel like the sound for me, I love the song, but it just, something with the sound doesn't resonate. And I say that very lightly because I think it's an absolute banger smash hit of a song in the best emotional way possible. Transitioning, very natural, seamless transition to My Tears Ricochet. This was the first song that she wrote for Folklore. And Jack Antonoff has said that he thinks this is one of the best songs that she's ever written. I would absolutely agree. To me, very close second to All Too Well. I think it's the way that she doesn't even say anything during this. I mean, the beginning of the song, the just her doing the I already feel dark. I feel energy. It makes me focus. I am transported. And that is what I love so much about Taylor Swift. Like, she's not saying anything at all, but she's already brought me to a different headspace than I was in before the song started. And that's kind of where I was at when I was ranking these songs, if that makes sense. I just put the lyrics with like 50 question marks, because if you have not really sat down and delved into the lyrics of My Tears Ricochet, highly recommend, but have some tissues handy because wow. Speaking of the Eras Tour, I think this is hands down the absolute best part of the Eras Tour, without a doubt. I mean, the slow, spooky, black, sparkly dresses, walking with their heads down. It's such a mood shift, but in the best way possible. When Taylor says, "If I'm on fire, you will be made of ashes too. Even on my worst day, did I deserve, babe, all the hell you gave me?" Absolutely yes. Ma'am, she's really claiming her power back. And I love that for her. Those tears might be ricocheting, but so are these lyrics, because pew pew, I'm obsessed. "We gather stones, never knowing what they'll mean." I think that's interesting because, like, gathering stones, something you do as a child, it's very innocent, it's very playful, it's very harmless. But she says, never knowing what they'll mean, some to throw or some to make a diamond ring. Ooh. And then she goes into, "You know, I didn't want to have to haunt you, but what a ghostly scene." I mean, we might as well just wrap up the episode there, because need we say more? Need we say more? But then she does. She has the absolute audacity to then write "Tolerate It." I wrote that she tolerate. She ate this song because, oh, the table scene, that was like the most jaw-dropping. Vigilante was obviously the most jaw-dropping. But I remember walking away from opening Out of the Eras Tour, and that table scene sent me. When I saw her crawling on that table and just like smashing things, I mean, again, never been the same. I feel like the feelings that Tolerate It evokes should be illegal. They warrant a warning, a red 911 code 13 warning. And I thought there was a lot of interesting discourse on Reddit. I don't know if you guys are into Reddit. I feel like I only use it on a need basis, but a lot of people had interesting takes on the song Tolerate It. Some people are not totally sold that it's totally like a made up story. Someone was talking about how this was inspired by that book. I know I'm going to butcher the author, Daphne du Maurier, but basically about like the relationship, having a large age gap, the older partner kind of treating you like a younger kid that's not an equal. It was a really interesting Reddit take that I thought. Again, I feel like some of these like top songs of mine that are track fives could have entire episodes. And if that's of interest, definitely let me know. I wrote down, "I was by the door like I'm just a kid. Use my best colors for your portrait." Whoa. I feel like anytime she draws like parallels to childhood in her track fives, you know it's going to be an excellent song. And then just kind of the like switch of the begging tone of, "If it's all in my head, tell me now, like tell me now, take me out of this reality, like make me wake up from this bad dream." And then, "I know my love should be celebrated, but you tolerate it." Again, snaps to our queen, knowing her worth. Love that for her. Yes, yes, yes. Now, big tonal shift here. "Why I Say You're On Your Own, Kid" is a top track five is because to me, this is a more pop upbeat track five done right. I really like the beats in this song. I really like the tempo of it. And obviously, this is where we get the birth of the friendship bracelets. Make the friendship bracelets. You guys, we have really taken the moment and we have been tasting it for quite a bit. Little ASMR. I like the emotion of you're smoking with your boys. I touch my phone as if it's your face. That's interesting because I don't know if I've ever really thought deep about that specific lyric, but it, to me, it paints the picture of he's out there, he's living his life. He's not worried about you, but meanwhile, you're at home, refreshing, checking to see if he's called, calling him, waiting for him, and he is just unbothered, booked, and busy, and everything you lose is a step you take. Like, I really just feel like this was done in the absolute best way possible in terms of you can smile while listening to this song because I feel like everybody can relate to this. Like, there's something in this song for everybody, whether you feel like you're on your own, whether you feel like there was a guy that you dreamed of getting out, but you also wanted him to be the one who stayed. Like, there's something in here for everybody. And I love that. I think the song Bravo was excellent. And I like how it can feel flowery, but still get a message across. And that's what, to me, track fives are all about. Now, deep breath, because we made it through. And now I wrote down, and now we wait. Dun, dun, dun. So Long London. Maybe we'll revisit my rankings after So Long London. I have a feeling it will be a track five. Top five for me. Track five, top five. That's a hard one to say. I'm quaking in my boots every episode. And one of you guys told me I need to put that on a shirt because truly, our queen leaves me quaking forever and evermore. Now, we're not going to do Swiftie submissions today. If you're new or just joining, I do Swiftie submissions at the end of every episode where basically I take anything that you guys have sent in, clowning, suggestions, whatever it might be, and we review them together. But this one's a long one and I want to be respectful of your guys' time and stay consistent with my usual episode time. If you have any feedback for me, as always, please, please, pretty please send that in. But without further ado, I have to touch on a couple of new members that have joined my Patreon since we last spoke. And one of the benefits of being a part of my Patreon is that you get a shout out at the end of an episode. So let's get right into those. Since we last spoke, we had some lovely Swifties join. And those Swifties are Danielle, Stephanie, Jessica, Amanda, Brianna, Jessica, and Karis. Karis was so much fun on our Swiftie School clown call. The cutest little thing I've ever seen. So happy that all of you guys have joined. And I cannot wait for all of you guys listening to join me on our next episode, which is episode 30. As always, I love you all endlessly. I have had the time of my life clowning with you per usual. And I cannot wait until we meet again. Wishing you a great week. And I will see you on the next one. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I know all too well how busy life can be, and I am so grateful that you chose to stay. Now, just know this is me trying, and I would greatly appreciate if you took a minute to leave a review or maybe share this episode with a fellow Swiftie. Make sure you join my broadcast channel on Instagram for more Swiftivities. And long story short, this love is real, and I'm beyond grateful for your support. See you next time.